The car hums. It is parked in the garage. The forest ticks around it, the cracking of branches, the buzz of crickets, the light swish of leaves as they fall down from the trees. The spiders scuttle about repairing their webs. A possum shrieks off in the distance. The stray ginger cat haunts the periphery. But inside the car, my father is breathless. In a few hours, my mother will find him. She won't answer his phone and she will know, and she will drive out from the Yellow Beach shack to check. She will find him, dead, and go inside and call the ambulance and our friends from down the road. Then she will wait with my father, listening to the sounds of the forest. Our friends will arrive first because they aren't far away, and they will clean the blood from the bathroom, from where my father tried to slit his wrist so my mother doesn't have to. The police and ambulance will come and they will take his body away. Later, we will receive an ambulance bill addressed to my father, though he was dead when the paramedics arrived and they could not revive him. His name on that envelope will hit us like a punch to the solar plexus. But let's go back to the humming car in the garage, to my father's last thoughts. He is lying across the back seat, his eyes closed, blocking out the world. The pressure of his tortured grief is slowly lessening in his chest. There is the faintest hint of relief, but he knows that he has failed us and that must weigh upon him too. Scratched out beside him lies a note. Billy, Jesse, Jakey, I'm sorry. Janny, I love you. And it is all there in those words, the life we had and the life we lost. Since my father's suicide, the word trust has gotten under my skin. If someone should utter it as a way to soothe me, I will go someplace quiet and cry. The very word has become broken. I hear in it only the echoes of its opposite, hints of leavings, endings, goodbyes, whispers of risk, hurt, harm. But it was not this way from the outset. I was born 4 weeks early, a preemie baby, delicate and clingy like a nursling possum. My mother tells me I barely slept. She says that in the middle of the night, my father brought me up onto his chest, his strong heartbeat banging there beneath my tiny ear, and I would slip straight into sleep because there was no safer place. My earliest memories all involve the nourishment I found in my parents' bodies, a feeling of being held, of skin settling against skin. I remember no tussles over privacy or space, more a surrender of their bodies to mine. You are welcome here, their touch seemed to say. Come make yourself at home. I slept between them, rolling from one pair of arms to the next. They each had their own smell, distinct and animal. My father had a tiny thatch of hair in the middle of his chest, no more than 20 strands, and pressed up against him in the early mornings, I petted it like a pelt. My mother let me play a game, a womb game, though I didn't call it that. She curled up on her side and I snuggled into the triangle between her knees and chest. Cubbies, I murmured, let's play cubbies. And she never refused. My brother was born when I was 20 months old. My parents' friends, who lived next door, came over to babysit me while my mother gave birth, and I woke up in the night to their unfamiliar bodies. The woman whispered, Mummy will be home soon, Mummy will be home soon. And I could feel the anxiety seeping out around her. She seemed concerned I might not believe her, but there was nothing I was more certain of.